देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयाम उदीरये। श्रीशुक उवाच एवं विपाकृतो राजन् बालिर्भगवता सुरा भिद्यमानोऽप्यभिन्नात्मा प्रत्यहा विप्लवं वचः। शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड, ओ किंग, Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially to be seen to have acted mischievously toward Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination, considering himself not to have fulfilled his promise. He spoke as follows. Shri Baliar Uvacha Yajutama Shloka Bhavan Mimeritam Pacho Vyalikam Suravaryamanyate Karom Ritam Tan Nabhavet Pralambhanam Padam Tratiyam Kurushish Nimenicham. Bali Maharaj said, O best personality of Godhead, most worshipable for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please, therefore, place your third lotus footstep on my head. Vime mina hum niradayat patachato napasha banda vyasana duratyayat naivarat krishad babato vinigrahad asaduvata brishamud vijayata. I do not fear being deprived of all my possessions, living in hellish life, being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, or being punished by you, as much as I fear defamation. Pungsang slagyatamam manye dandamarhatmad martitam par arhatthapitam yam namata pita brata suhridas chadishantihi. Although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punished their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given as most exalted. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Punishment meted out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted by the devotee as the greatest mercy. Tatenukampam shushamikshamano bhujana epatmakritam vipakam ridbhagvapur virvidaram namaste jivetiya mukti padeshadaya bhak. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances to you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. A devotee knows that so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Therefore, the punishment awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to even the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother, or even friend. Om Agyan Tmirandasya Yananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jainatasmoy Sri Guruve Namah Vansha kalpata dhubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam bhavani vyo vaishnave vyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advait Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Today we are celebrating Vamana Dwadasi, the very sacred and blessed day which commemorates the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his divine incarnation of Sri Vamanadeva. In the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described how sometimes in this material world, the modes of material nature, they change in prominence. Sometimes there is a prominent rising of the mode of goodness, sometimes passion, and sometimes ignorance. And of course, those who are of the character of the demigods or pious people, they gain great strength from the mode of goodness. Those who are very worldly, ambitious for sense gratification, they become very powerful when there is a prominence in the mode of passion. And those who are asuric, atheistic, and demoniac, they gain great strength through the association of the mode of passion and prominently ignorance. So we have read that there was a great king of the Asuras whose name was Bali Maharaj, very special personality. He was the grandson of Prahlad, the son of Virochana. As we know, Prahlad was the son of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was the king of the demons. And after Lord Narasimhadev liberated him by the grace of Prahlad, Narasimha Bhagavan enthroned Prahlad as the king of the demons, although he was a Mahabhagavat. Very interesting, because of the 12 Mahajans, two of them were formerly demons. Prahlad and his grandson Bali are both Mahajans, and they were both kings of the demoniac society. But of course we know Prahlad was a pure devotee, a Paramhamsa. So Bali Maharaj, although he had to perform his duty, and he had to also fulfill the desires and protect the Asuras as their leader, at the same time, due to the inconceivable will of the Lord, we may say he had certain samskaras or certain good fortune that he had the qualities of Prahlad. And sometimes it is very difficult to understand how Bhishma Dev fought to defend Duryodhana's envious, sinful motives. Why Bali Maharaj fought against the demigods and conquered the entire universe on behalf of the demons, which he did. This is Krishna's inconceivable will, which ultimately is revealed in due course of time. So, when Bali Maharaj, after worshipping the Brahmins and giving great charity to them, he was famous for his charitable disposition, and he would worship the Brahmins. So he got their favor, and they performed a great yajna for him, and he got a power called Brahmatejas. And then he took his massive army of demons and marched into the kingdom of Indra. And when Indra saw the resplendent effulgence on Bali Maharaj's body and the massive armies that he was coming to challenge him with,
Indra realized that I cannot possibly fight against this man. So he approached his guru, Brihaspati, and said, "What should I do?" Brihaspati said that, "Unfortunately, you have offended Brahmins. And Bali Maharaj has served them nicely. Therefore, he has the power of the Brahminical blessings. He cannot be defeated by any power in this earth. Indra, the best thing you could do is hide. Go away. Just let him take over. You cannot win." So Indra and all of his brothers, the demigods, they left. At that time, Aditi, the mother of the devatas, she became very much distressed that all of her children were deprived of their abodes, their prestige, all of the pleasures of life. So she approached her husband Kashyapa Muni, and she performed a great yajna in the mood of very, very pure unalloyed bhakti, and as a result of that, she prayed to the Lord Vishnu to become her child, because she knew that only Vishnu could save her children from this terrible perplexity of material nature. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as the son of Kashyapa and Aditi in the beautiful, beautiful form of a dwarf. And he was celebrated by the name of Vamanadev. Later on, because of his magnificent mystical activities, he was called upon by the name Trivikram, Upendra. So when Vamanadev appeared in this world on this auspicious day, all of the great devatas, they knew that he had come to liberate them from their embarrassing situation. And they all began to provide him beautiful gifts. And Vamanadev, as a Brahmin dwarf, knowing that Bali Maharaj was so charitable, he could not refuse anyone that came to him, especially while he was performing a yajna or at particular times of the day when it was auspicious. He came with his begging bowl to Bali. And Bali said, "Oh, you are Brahman. What would you like? You have come to me. I have conquered the whole universe. I can give you any benediction you so desire within my capacity." Vamanadev replied, "My dear Bali Maharaj, I request that you grant me 3 steps of land. Whatever distance my 3 little dwarf-like steps can cover, give me that much land, please." Bali Maharaj replied, "Why you are asking so little from somebody so big as me? Do you know what I can give you if you ask anything? Ask something more, please." Vamanadev said, "Bali Maharaj, you have conquered the whole universe because you are so unsatisfied with whatever little you have. I say to you, one who is not satisfied within his own heart and mind cannot find peace or satisfaction no matter what he attains in this world. But one who is satisfied within can be satisfied whether he has everything or nothing. I do not require anything more than 3 steps of land because I have found peace within. So please just give me these 3 steps. At that time, Shukracharya, the spiritual master of Bali and other asuras, he took Bali to the side. He said, "This person is Lord Vishnu. He's on the side of your enemies, the demigods. If you give him anything, he's going to cheat you of everything. Do not give him anything." it is described, Shukracharya was motivated because he knew that disciples give gurus dakshin. And as long as he was very prosperous, he would get good dakshin. And if Vamanadeva took everything away, then what could he give him? So Bali Maharaj replied, "What?" I remember a tape of Prabhupada where he's playing both roles in this story. And he says that Bali Maharaj replied, "What nonsense you are. Guru is supposed to tell me to surrender to Vishnu. You are telling me not to surrender to Vishnu. Get out. I reject you." So Shukracharya left and cursed that you will lose everything. Bali Maharaj turned to Vamanadeva and said, "Now you take your steps. Whatever your feet cover is yours." Right before his eyes, this beautiful, beautiful little golden complexion dwarf began to grow so big that he covered the entire sky. There was practically no beginning or end to his body. And then he began to take his first step. He covered all the lower and middle planetary systems. Then with his second step, he covered all the heavenly planets. His foot went beyond Brahma Loka, Satya Loka, and it pierced the covering of the universe. And at that time, the Karana ocean, the causal ocean in which Mahavishnu lays in, it began to leak through the crack that was created by the toe of Vamanadeva. And that water, which is none other than the divine water emanating from the body of Lord Narayan, it came down and washed the feet of Vamanadeva. And then it descended to become the river Ganges and flow through the heavenly planets. Much later, by the grace of King Bhagirathi, it also descended to this earth planet with the help of Lord Shiva. So why is the Ganges so sanctified? Because it had especially washed the feet of Lord Vamana Avatar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore every drop of the river Ganges is pure Charanamrit, which can liberate one from all sins. And if approached with the proper state of mind, can award pure devotion to the Lord. In fact, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chose to take birth in Navadvipa on the banks of the Ganges. And he would sometimes recite beautiful, beautiful poetry in honor, in glorification of the Ganges. In one of slokas that he composed, he said that the river Ganges, this goddess Ganges is so merciful and so pure that if one is even touched by the breeze, the cooling breeze that is coming from the river Ganges, one can receive pure love of Krishna if one receives with proper faith. So, at that time, Vamanadeva looked at Bali Maharaj and said, "So, I have taken two steps. You have promised me three. You have broken your promise because you have nothing else to give me." At that time, right in front of Bali's wife and all of his servants, subjects, and all of the citizens of his kingdom, he was tied with the ropes of Varuna like a criminal, totally humiliated and brought to the court of Vamanadeva to go on trial. Like a criminal. What a humble position to be put in. He was completely stripped away of everything. Vamanadeva was really Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hari. He really was Hari. He stole everything. He took away all of his property, all of his wealth, his entire kingdom, and he took away all of his prestige and completely embarrassed, humiliated him in front of everybody. And here, Lali Maharaj is speaking. Beautiful slokas. That, my Lord, you have taken away everything. You've put me in utter poverty. But I consider that you are my best well-wisher. You want to know where to put your third step? Please, my Lord, place it upon my head. I surrender my body, my words, my thoughts, my entire life to you. Atmanivedanam. He is the particular bhakta that most purely represents the ninth process of devotional service, of surrendering everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. And he's here explaining that although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But you are the most worshipable Lord. I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Lali Maharaj had this faith that whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead does is perfect. And it is always for the betterment, for the upliftment, and for the ultimate glory of his devotee. And when the Lord wants to punish, it is not really punishment, it is actually a benediction. And it can be seen as such by one who has faith. But when he punishes, it is something extraordinary. Because when a person is punished in this material world, he simply gets an equal reaction to his karma. But when the Lord punishes, it has nothing to do with karma. He can punish you and minimize the punishment so you deserve so much worse according to what you've done. But he just gives a little sample token just to warn you or purify you in some way or other. Or if he wants, you can make a little mistake, which really would only deserve a little karmic reaction, and he can come down on you with millions and trillions and quadrillions of times more pain, suffering, and embarrassment by it. Because Krishna knows what you need, and he will give you just that. And that faith is called Krishna consciousness. So Bali Maharaj was put in the most painful possible predicament. And he's explaining here that, my Lord, I don't mind you've done everything else to me, but I do not want to be known as someone who has not given charity properly to the Brahmins. So I'm giving you my life. So the next part of the story is very, very interesting. Please, everyone, stay for just a couple minutes as I explain. After he placed his third step on the head of Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj was completely defeated by the Lord, and he was proud to be defeated by the Lord. And then the Lord told him that you are meant to be the king of heaven. But at this time, I must give the kingdom of heaven to Indra. So in the meanwhile, I'm going to send you to a place called Sutala Loka. Sutala is in the vicinity of the hellish planets. But because he was sending Bali Maharaj to this helliest planet, he had already prepared it by sending Vishvakarma to make the hellish planet of Sutala millions of times more luxurious and opulent than any of the heavenly planets. It is described that in Sutala Loka, there was no disease, there was no pain, there was no suffering, there was no anxiety, and it was such a beautiful, beautiful place that all the demigods in the heavens were anxious for the opportunity to visit that place. But the Lord knew that Bali Maharaj was not interested in living in the most luxurious, opulent, and pleasurable heavenly planet in the entire universe. Bali Maharaj simply wanted to serve Lord Vamanadeva. So in order to fulfill that desire, Lord Vamanadeva promised that not only will I give you this beautiful planet, but I will personally live there with you. And I will greet, like a doorkeeper, all the exalted guests that come to see you every day. And you will always see me there, and I will always see you, because I love you, because you have surrendered your life to me. So Bali Maharaj went to Sutala Loka, and the Supreme Lord Narayan, in his form of Vamanadeva, also went with him. And Bali Maharaj, he just loved, because he had so much luxury, so much wealth, he considered nothing as mine. Everything belongs to my Lord, Upendra. And it is all meant for the welfare of others. So whatever he had, he was simply anxious to give it to other people. So people would come in lines every day to get Bali Maharaj, this great Mahajan's darshan, and to ask him for favors, and he would give. Now what happened is Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, she was thinking, where is my Lord Narayan? He incarnated as this Vamanadeva, but he hasn't returned yet. Where is he? At that time, Narada Muni appeared and said, Lakshmi Devi, he's now serving as the doorkeeper of Bali in the Sutala Loka. And she was in too much separation. What to do? Her beloved consort. He had left her to serve his devotee. Just see the love of the Lord for his devotee. That he's even willing to leave the goddess of fortune in separation to serve his devotee who has surrendered to him. But Lakshmi Devi was thinking, there must be some way that I can get him back. So what she did is she disguised herself as a very old lady. And she went that day when Bali, at that time of the day when he was giving charity to everyone. And so many people were coming and going and coming and going and coming and going from his king's court. And Lakshmi Devi, in the form of the disguised old woman, very distinguished looking, she just stood in the corner of the room. And she let everyone go in front of her. Everyone go in front of her. Everyone go in front of her. And Bali Maharaj was noticing, who is this virtuous woman? Obviously, she appears very poor, and she appears very old and in need, but yet she doesn't approach me. She just lets everyone else go first. And toward the end of the day, after everyone had left, Bali Maharaj called her and said, you are very, very virtuous and very humble. I promise you that I will grant the fulfillment of any desire you have, please ask something of me. She revealed herself as Lakshmi. She said, "You are offering me a benediction." This doorkeeper, Vamanadev, he is my eternal consort. He is my life and soul. He's my everything. I beg you, please give him to me. Let me take him back to Vaikuntha. Lali Maharaj was thinking, I must fulfill whatever you desire. And at that time, Vamanadeva appeared. He was enjoying this pastime very much. And he was thinking, and Bali Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, I am your eternal servant." He said, "But I have promised Lakshmi Devi that you will return to her. So please, you must go." Vamanadeva saw that although Bali was so much in the mood of sacrifice, his heart was so broken by the idea of Vamana leaving that Vamanadeva said, "I will expand myself as two. I will go with Lakshmi Devi to be with her in the spiritual world. And at the same time, I will always remain here with you." So in this way, the Lord, by his inconceivable transcendental potency, he can fulfill all the desires of all of his devotees. There is no limitation. He is achyuta, infallible and unlimited. In fact, he is achyutananda. He takes great pleasure in his infallible, unlimited, wonderful pastimes. You may ask, that when the Lord expands in this material world, he doesn't leave Vaikuntha. He can remain there and just expand. But for the sake of performing these wonderful, loving pastimes to show his mercy to his devotees, he can also leave, at least appear to. So this day of Vamanadwadasi is such a wonderful, wonderful, an important festival for all Vaishnavas, because it displays the wonderful qualities of Sri Bali Maharaj, such a soul who was perfectly happy and content to give up all of his material life simply for the pleasure of the Lord, who was so pure and strict in his vows that he let nothing in the world, no attachments, stand between him and his word. And how the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in such a remarkable way for so many reasons. In one sense, the original intention of his appearance appeared to be that he was coming to defeat Bali and give benediction to the demigods. But in actuality, what he did is he gave the benediction of the demigods what they wanted. They got their heavenly planets back. But the benediction he gave Bali was millions of times greater. He not only gave him a heavenly planet greater than any of the heavens, but he gave him pure devotional service. He gave Bali Maharaj himself, the highest wealth, the highest treasure of the soul. But before giving it to him, he tested him. He put him in a condition of humiliation and just to show devotees that whatever situation I put you in, know for sure that in the end, all your desires are fulfilled if you just maintain your faith and humbly surrender to me. Offer your head to my lotus feet. In how the Supreme Lord on this day, through this appearance of Vamanadvadasi, perform the wonderful pastime of showing how his eternal lila is to give pleasure to all of his devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes.
What does the name Urukrama mean?
Who knows what the name Urukrama means? Anyone know what Urukrama means? Huh? Trivikrama. It means with three steps he covered the whole universe. Urukrama, I think Uru means like very great. Huh? Very. Huh? Means one who performs great wonderful activities. This is in reference to the great wonderful activities of being Trivikram, of covering the whole universe with two steps.
What does Upendra mean?
I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. Endra means Lord. Upa. What is Upa?
Generally it is used for subordination.
Huh?
Like Nanda and Upananda. In Krishna Lila we are Nanda and Upananda. Generally it means somebody. Upa means subordinate. Younger brother of Indra. Upa means subordinate or younger.
The younger brother of Indra. Upa means above. Above Indra. Arivo. It means he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That much even a simple doctor like me can understand. Yes, Tarun Krishna, Prabhu.
He said the Lord can expand without leaving Vaikuntha, but he can leave also.
As he likes.
Okay, so yesterday...
He doesn't leave, but he can appear to leave.
Yesterday, Bhagavan Prabhu gave a class.
Yes.
And this same idea was there. There was a part in the purport where Devaki and Vasudeva with Krishna, and it's described that Nanda and Yashoda could have also been there, but it would have been a incompatible situation, or awkward. The word was awkward in the purport.
Mm.
So then on Radhastami you mentioned that the Kurukshetra pastime, where Srimati Radharani is feeling that she should have died if she really had love for Krishna, mm. and felt separation from Krishna after he left Vrindavan. Mm. And then there's also a verse which says, Vrindavana prityaja na pada ekam gachati. Mm. That Krishna never leaves Vrindavan.
Mm.
So in which way is he always in Vrindavan, and at the same time they're feeling separation from Krishna in Vrindavan?
Did he ever actually leave Lakshmi? Did he ever leave Radharani? There cannot be separation, because the bhava, that bhava or love of Krishna, Krishna resides in full in that heart where he is loved and served in devotion. But he appears to leave simply to increase the ecstasy of that love. That is called vipralamba seva. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He can never leave Sri Radharani because he is always living in his full glory in her heart. He can never leave Lakshmi Devi because he's always living in full glory in her heart. But he appears to leave by his inconceivable will simply to increase the ecstasy of that bhava through separation. Vipralamba Sambhoga, the two forms of prema in which they are manifested, is love in meeting and loving in separation. And they are both meant to increase the ecstasy of the other. It is a pastime. All the Lord's spiritual pastimes are enacted essentially for one purpose: to increase the pleasurable ecstasy of love between the Lord and his devotees. Yes?
Maharaj, you just mentioned about Bali Maharaj right now ruling Sutala Loka, which is considered to be a hellish planet. So, can this Sutala Loka be still called a hellish planet? Can this Sutala Loka still be called as hellish planet?
Sutala? It's a heavenly planet. Sutala Loka is actually a heavenly planet, but it's in the hellish regions. Krishna can do anything for his devotees.
It's so difficult to understand, Maharaj, like, it's quite inconceivable.
I can give you a very clear example. Bombay is a hellish place, but Radha Gopinath is the spiritual world, this temple. It's better than the heavenly planets. There is no heavenly planet that is so wonderful as Radha Gopinath Mandir. And yet it's in the middle of the hellish city of Bombay. Huh? So this is Krishna's grace on his devotees. He can create a heavenly atmosphere in the middle of a hell. Same principle. Huh? You can judge for yourself. That answer your question? Any other questions? Arrivo.